Jesus' name, your words with your power for your glory to serve your people. Come on. Who's ready to learn? Well, all right. The five of you that are, if you just come pull your chair up here, and then once anybody else gets excited to learn, you can join. I do that sometimes at school if we have like a review session, you know, before a test. Some kids will be like ready to really learn. And you want to work with those kids, and then the other kids can decide once they start studying whether they need help too. Because, you know, drags it down if some people aren't in it. All right. God's been doing a lot with me and Megan. Really, really cool stuff. We are on the most wild ride of our life, and it is awesome. This summer, we were doing the evangelism. Well, Brad and I were doing evangelism stuff. He was training me so that I could be one of the trainers in the evangelism class we have going right now. And I have a month off from school in the summer, July. It's kind of almost sacred. In the last 4 years, I haven't even really had it off. For the 2 years previous, I was getting a principal's license in the summer and buying a house and having another baby. The year before that, we had our first son, Peter, and then the year before that, we got married. So it seems like in my 6 or 7 years in education, I don't know that I've ever really had a summer. Maybe one of them I had a summer, you know what I mean, in terms of like a summer off. And so this summer, we had a summer off. We weren't moving. We weren't having a baby. We weren't really doing anything. I wasn't in school. And I had July off, and my principal was real lovely, kind of shielding me from emails and things like that, saying, hey, you know, if there's something urgent, I'll just text you to check your email. So I really didn't have to do anything. And we, Brad and I, would go on Tuesdays and Thursdays, or maybe Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I forget what it was, in the afternoon to go witnessing. Our kids would go down for a nap, Brad and I would go witnessing. And one, it freaked me out a little bit, and two, I kind of didn't want to do it because I just wanted to have the month off. And the reason it freaked me out a little bit is because I had some fear of man still left in me that just needed to get burnt out by what we call evangelism boot camp, and where you just went out and shared the gospel with people. And of course, you find that all that fear is just a veil. You know, you step in, and then you have people like, you know, 5 minutes into a conversation saying, thank you so much for stopping to talk with me, right? So there's really no need to be afraid, and I'm not afraid now. We were just witnessing our group on campus the other week, and for the first time ever, I felt like I was out there with zero fear, just totally natural, really having a great evening, truthfully. So praise God, quite a transformation there. You all have that too if you haven't already. But I remember thinking to myself during that summer, one day about the second or third time we were about to go out, I was thinking to myself, man, I work so hard during the year at school, and there's so little time sometimes to do some of the things, quote unquote, I want to do, or maybe things we wouldn't normally get to do as a family. That just feels like, you know, having a couple afternoons a week, with the week being punctuated with some commitments to go out witnessing. And at the time, because witnessing was a stretch for me, it wasn't necessarily, you know, the same as having a commitment twice a week to go watch a movie. It was like actually kind of hard work, right? It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't like kick your heels up on the coffee table and, you know, sit back and watch, you know, whatever. Andy Griffith. I like that show. We like the Dick Van Dyke show sometimes. Anyway, remember one time I was getting ready to go witnessing, and I was feeling that tension in my heart, and I told the Lord, I said, and I feel like he had stirred my heart in this regard in that moment, and I told the Lord, I said, Father, you said if I seek your kingdom first, you will add all these things to me. And earlier this summer, we were in North Carolina, and we had this one situation, and it kind of had me stirred. You know, John Paul Jackson, I read a tweet that he wrote. He's a prophet. This tweet's one of the best one-liners I've ever heard in my life, not in terms of how like exciting it sounds, but in terms of how it will change your life. Listen to this. He said, adversity is the first sign of a need for repentance, i.e. to change your mind. Or I think the way he phrased it, adversity is the first sign of the need to change the way you think. Man, that thing has had such legs for me. I read that probably 4 months ago, and every single time since then, it seems that like I'm feeling like, you know, you run against a brick wall, and you're thinking, you know, you're just stuck. You're stuck, stuck, stuck. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, and what I know there is it means my thinking's wrong. Now I know that. Like, immediately I go right to that. I say, man, this feels like some adversity in my thought life right now, right? Well, what is that? Well, I need to change the way I think. Adversity is the first sign that you need to change the way you think. Well, that just makes it real easy for me right now. You know what I'm saying? And the reason I'm saying it's one of the best like one-liners I've ever heard is because I'm telling you, it's worked for me about 25 times pitch perfect since then. Literally. And it's like the Spirit of the Lord will bring it to my memory. Oh, yeah. Lord, how am I? And then I ask a good question. How am I thinking wrong? God, show me how you think about this. Dude, I'm getting transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm proving God's perfect will with my life. Do you know what I'm saying? Romans 12. I'm telling you, I am proving God's perfect will with my life. I'm proving it right now, and I'm going to prove it more. I'm going to prove how good he is with my life. Amen. Do you hear me? I'm going to prove how good he is with my life. I'm going to do it. Because I'm going to take him at his word. Because earlier that summer, we were in North Carolina, and I felt this adversity in my head. And I was like, Lord, what is this? How do I need to change the way he thinks? And I started just talking with the Lord. And the Lord said to me real clearly, he said, Peter, go ahead and take me at my word. Do it. He dared me. Do it. You have permission. Take me at my word. Go ahead. Go ahead. You can do it. Do it. Don't hold back any longer. You can take me at your word. I dare you. Take me at my word. Not like dare me like the bully in your elementary school class. It's like God dare you, right? But he was speaking my heart. He said, I dare you. This is the tone. Take me at my word. Go ahead. Take me at my word. Take me at my word. You know you can take God at his word. He wants you to take him at his word. That's why Malachi 3 says, test me now in this. About tithes. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, he doesn't use that phrasing a lot of other places, and Jesus says, you know, don't tempt God. You get what I'm saying. But take him at his word. Go ahead and take him at his word. And so I did that there, getting ready to go witnessing, catching myself in this interplay between, I want to do the will of the Lord, but I work so hard the rest of the year that I really kind of do need a month off. Another way to say it in short, I don't have time for evangelism. And I felt this tension on the inside of me, knowing I needed to change the way I think, but I didn't know how to change the way I think because it's not me being lazy. If you like watch my life, you know that I'm not lazy. So it's not me being lazy. It's not that I'm unwilling to get up and do something. It's not that I mean, we don't even have a TV at our house, not because they're bad or we're against them. We got lots of other things we're so excited to do, we just don't really have a lot of time for that, you know? And so it's not that I'm lazy, but so I was in this rock and a hard place. I knew I needed to change the way I thought, but I was pretty confused about how I was supposed to change the way I thought because I'm not lazy, and I do feel like I can't do anything more, and I feel like I need a break, and I probably do really need a break. So what am I supposed to do here? And then that verse, Matthew 6:33, comes to mind. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Go ahead, Peter. Take me at my word. Take me at my word. And so I took him at his word. Do you do that with God? I want to encourage you to do that with God. You can take him at his word. When he said something, he didn't say it to not say it. He said it. Do you know what I'm saying? His word, Isaiah 55, will not return to him void. It'll accomplish that for which the purpose for which he sent it. Do you know what I'm saying? So I said, when he says ask and you'll receive, you can take him at his word. We realized we needed a jointer for our wood shop, and one night after about 2 weeks of it being clear that the Lord was putting it on my heart that you need a jointer for your wood shop, I was walking to the couch at 9 p.m. I said, Father, I ask for a jointer in Jesus' name. And I knew I had what I asked for when I asked. And sure enough, a few weeks later, we had literally a miraculous supply of a jointer, and with it also a beautiful woodworking mentor that was selling us the jointer and has now taught us much about woodworking. Isn't that amazing? Miraculous supply on multiple levels. Why? Because I took God at his word. He says, ask and you'll receive. We needed to receive a jointer. I felt like that was a hope that was from the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so I thought that was from the Lord. And so we asked, and I knew that I'd received because I was taking him at his word. And sure enough, we received it. I didn't need to ask again between now and then. I didn't need this something Brad taught me. I didn't need to learn a million things about jointers. Now, it's not that I learned nothing about jointers. I spent about 10 minutes with a very knowledgeable person saying, tell me about jointers, and he told me the sort that you'd probably want. You know what I mean? That was helpful. I don't need to learn much more. You know what I'm saying? Because the Lord's going to supply my every need according to his riches. So anyway, I took him at his word. So I was standing there getting ready to go to evangelism boot camp, and I said, Father, you said, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I said, all right, God. You know what I mean? You know when your heart says something to the Lord like that? I mean, I probably said it out loud, too. It's powerful to say things out loud. But I made a covenant with the Lord that day. I said, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to be a Matthew 6:33 man. I made a commitment that day. And how did I not only believe his word, but also do it? I kept doing evangelism boot camp. I'm like, I don't know how these things fit together. I know I need a break, but I know it says seek first his kingdom. What better way than going to witness to people and lead them to Christ? You know what I'm saying? Probably that day we led two people to Christ, I'd guess. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking I don't have time for this, but the kingdom was right there, ready to advance, and all we had to do is come in, take it by force and do it, right? So I believed Matthew 6:33, and then we did it, right? But here's the thing. I still need things added to me. Do you know what I'm saying? I still need more time. I still need more rest, all that sort of thing. And so anyway, this thing started to stir in both, this is really a journey with Megan and me as a family. This thing started to stir in my heart that I'm like, God, you got to show me. Seek first his kingdom. Okay. In the beginning, God made man. I've got to give just a backdrop real quick. In the beginning, God made man, Adam and Eve, breathed into him the breath of life, living being, united with God, in a perfect paradise. Did they need anything? No. He put a bad choice there, the tree, knowledge of good and evil. Why did he put the choice there? Yeah, give us a free will, right? Because love requires a free will, so he didn't want to force man to love him. He gave him a bad choice, right? Now, the restriction about not eating from that tree wasn't about trying to restrict man. He had already given him everything. It was paradise. It wasn't about trying to limit man's resources. I mean, everything was given to man, Adam and Eve. So they, with their free will, chose to disobey God. They got cut off from God, right? Okay, were they in paradise any longer? No. Because now they had eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so they were leaning on their own understanding. Good? Okay, good. Now, that's called the world system. Bible says, 6:14, that we're no longer slaves to sin, but it also says right around Romans 6:14 that we're no longer slaves to sin. It also says, don't you know that you're slave to him whom you obey, right? So God made man an authority over the whole earth, but he gave that authority to the devil because he obeyed the devil. Right? And that's why they became spiritually dead, which is why people sin, and the world became dark and subjected to futility, as Romans 8 says, not willingly, but by him who subjected it. Who subjected it to futility? Adam did, right? And so Adam subjected it to futility by putting it under the power of the devil. The devil didn't have the power, but Adam and Eve had all the power, and they gave it to the devil because they obeyed him. You're slaves to him who you obey. Now, because of that, the world don't work right. Do you know what I'm saying? It by the sweat of your brow. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to get thistles and thorns and briars instead of what? Good crops, right? Childbirth is going to be laboresome. Do you see what I'm saying? I was laughing about the pun. I thought it was good. Oh, man, you guys just need, you know, a little more anointing. Oh, man, you know, 1 Corinthians 2:12 talks about the Spirit. We have the Spirit, so we have Revelation. Anyway, okay, I'm just messing. So in either case, that's what happened. Why? Because man subjected it. So that became the world system. Things don't work right. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the... So in the world system, what you do is you lean on your own understanding and you get your own results. Right? Because we all have the same choice that Adam and Eve had. God had offered them a paradise, but he said, if you don't want it, eat of that tree. So they did. It was dumb. Now, I don't know if we were in their spot that we would have done any different, but it was dumb. And they got the results of dumb, and everybody else got the results of dumb, but then there was one that chain of spiritual death was interrupted by the seed of one, the seed of God, implanted in Mary. That was Jesus. Jesus overcame the world, right? And now we're no longer slaves to sin. And Jesus became a curse, Galatians 3, hung on the tree, right? So that we might receive the promises, the blessings of Abraham. Do you see what I'm saying? We're no longer under the curse. Now, if we were under the curse, the only option that we really have is own understanding, own results. As in, you have natural options. It's all natural. As in, if you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get beat. That sort of thing. Like, you know what I mean? You work 60 hours a week at your job, so you make a little bit more than the person who only works 40 hours a week. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's not the blessing of the Lord which makes rich, Proverbs 10:22, and adds no sorrow with it. It's the work of my hands, which makes me tired. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, now, there is another kingdom. And you have access to that kingdom. It's a whole different system. It's not connected to that system. Jesus overcame that system. He gave you all authority to operate in the other system, right? He became poor that we could become rich. He became sick so that we could be healthy, right? We get everything we don't deserve because he got everything he didn't deserve. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a new system available to us. I heard Bill Johnson say recently, the greatest hindrance to prayer is praying for things that God's already given us. Amen. That's a good word. The greatest hindrance to prayer is praying for things that God's already given us. There's a new system. There's a different system. It's available to you. It's called the kingdom of God. It's his word and his results. Did you hear me? Over here, it's our effort, our understanding, and our results. This is why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and this is why our checks say Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I wish it could say 3, 6 as well, right? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. Good word, Thelma. So over here, it's everything that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says not to do. I lean on my own understanding. In my eyes, I'm wise. That's verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, right? But over here, it's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, which Jesus said to seek first, is totally different. The kingdom doesn't operate like that. The kingdom operates like Mark 4 says it's operating. The kingdom operates by believing and doing. The kingdom operates by making a decision that you're going to be spirit, you're going to walk by the Spirit, meaning you're going to walk by the Word. The kingdom operates by his Word and his results. Do you see what I'm saying? The kingdom operates his Word and his results. It's a different kingdom. We couldn't be over here in this kingdom apart from the work of Christ, but because Christ has done that work and we've received that work and we're a new creation in Christ, we can operate in the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus, he wouldn't have told you to pray like this. If not, he said, "Thy kingdom," pray like this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We're supposed to bring his kingdom to earth, and I know we've talked about that. We're supposed to seek first his kingdom. Now listen, what this is the seek first his kingdom, Matthew 6:33 is saying, don't operate in this kingdom. Operate in this one. Why did Jesus start his ministry around the start of his ministry? Repent, meaning change your thinking. The kingdom of God is at hand. You're going to have to do things real different now. If you keep going the way you've been going, that's okay. You're just not going to get the results that are available to you. It's a new system. It's a brand new system. It's not what your third grade teacher taught you. It's not what your first boss taught you. There's a good chance your parents didn't teach it to you. And I don't have anything against your parents, your third grade teacher, or your boss. I'm just saying the world does not work like this. Man, I'm going pretty quick. That's only 15 minutes in. Good. Okay, catch this. Psalms 37. I think about verse 2. Verse 3. Trust in this alternate translation of it from ESV. I think it's a good one. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, if you got a religious mindset, you're saying, all right, brother, I'm going to trust in the Lord and then I'm going to do some good. Is that what it's talking about? Okay, trust in the Lord and you'll do good. Do you see what I'm saying? Trust in the Lord and you'll do good. Interpret scripture by scripture, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He'll make straight your path. So trust in the Lord, do good. As in you'll do good. Dwell in the land. Now listen to this. Come on. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land and feast on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land, but feed on his faithfulness. Do you catch what I'm starting to say? You're going to dwell in the land. Look, people get all messed up about, I feel like I've got 100 facets I need to share to make sure I don't mess you up, but or give you license to mess something up, you know. But, because there's just different things that people might think. That's not meant to be critical. Okay, here's the thing. Dwell in the land. You're supposed to be here. We're not supposed to be like, well, I'm just waiting to go to heaven in the sweet by and by. You dwell here. This is where we're at. We're called to be salt to the earth. We're called to be light to the earth. We're called to bring his kingdom to earth. We are here. Dwell in the land. But don't feed on the world system. Feed on whose faithfulness? His faithfulness. I'm telling you, it's like if you, the picture I have in my head with this verse is if you owned 100 acres and you planted the 100 acres to yield corn, you have a proper view when you think it's the Lord that's bringing forth the harvest. You're going to feed on the faithfulness of God. Yes, I know that your land will play a part in that, but your faith is not in your soil chemistry. Do you see what I'm saying? Dwell in the land and feed on whose faithfulness? God's faithfulness. It's a different system. You will never hope counter to your trust. You will never hope counter to your trust. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you'll hope the things God hopes. If you don't trust in the Lord with all your heart, you'll limit God. You will not have a hope, a positive expectation of the future according to what God thinks if you don't trust God. Because he's thinking bigger than you're thinking. He's thinking exceedingly and abundantly more than you've asked or sought or imagined. But if your trust is in your own understanding, you won't see it come to pass. And God's still going to love you. I just like winning. There's an interesting scripture that the Lord put on my heart this morning during worship. Catch this. It's from the book of Judges. You guys probably know Gideon, or I don't know how you say it exactly, Gideon. Okay. Listen to this. I'll just give it, instead of reading it all, it's from Judges chapter 6. Here's the deal. God had brought the Israelites into a promised land, but they weren't inheriting many of the promises. Life was stinking for them a lot. Do you know what I'm saying? And there was this thing where, here, it's about the Midianites. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And I'm skipping a bunch of verses. When the people cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage." Do you know what Egypt is? It's the world. It's bondage. The world system is bondage. I'm not against the world. I'm just saying the world system is bondage. It's not life-giving. You know what I mean? "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you've not obeyed my voice." Now listen, here's what's interesting. Gideon, in this case, where does the angel of the Lord find Gideon? Hiding in the wine press. Here's what's interesting. God had given Gideon and his people a promised land, and they were squandering it through unbelief. And there's Gideon with a little bit of wheat that he has, hiding in the wine press with his provision. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know if I see what I'm saying. Let me try again. It's time for us as a body to stop hiding in the wine press. There's a promised land available to us. I don't want Jesus to come back and him to have to find us hiding in the wine press with a little bit of wheat. That's ridiculous. God had given them a promised land. Faith is a function of free will. Remember Adam and Eve? They got to choose whether they were going to obey God or not, right? God's big on free will. When it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge is like knowing him. It's the word yada. It's kind of like inviting him to your party. In all your ways, invite him. In everything you're doing, invite him. And then he'll be awesome. Because if God's going to be awesome whether you invite him or not. But if you invite him, then you're going to get awesome around you, which is going to really make your life awesome. Okay? Now, here's the thing. If you don't invite him, though, you won't get his results. Why? He's not going to force it on you. But a lot of times what we do, what we call faith, in my opinion, is actually codependency. Now, codependency is putting the responsibility for results in your life on someone whose responsibility it's not. For instance, I love how Danny Silk talks about this, and I only know the one story, so I'll use that one, even though you say the other one's better for this. But he had a son or a daughter out with a son out at a Mexican restaurant. Chips and salsa before the meal. And you know what that can do? It can spoil your meal. And so the son asked mom and dad, "Don't let me eat any more chips and salsa. Don't let me eat any more chips and salsa." Do you see the problem with that? Who has the power to inhibit the physical uptake of the chips and salsa? The son does. And so why would the son ask mom and dad to keep him from eating more chips and salsa? What's that? He lacks discipline. And here's what I think is going on in his heart. Is he wants to eat the chips and salsa, truth be told. And he wants to be able to afterwards, when he feels guilty that he's ate the chips and salsa again, be able to half blame someone else for his bad results. But all the while, if you actually really just look at the situation from like a fly in the wall, you'd be like, what's that kid thinking? Just don't put another one in your face. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, listen, I can be in the same spot at Mexican restaurants. I have to kind of like make a pretty big decision. I'm going to not enjoy the fajitas if I've eaten 3 containers of chips and salsa. I'll be through my 4th cup of water. It's been so salty and things like that before my dinner even comes. And then, you know, you got to take your whole dinner home. Here's the point. That's Danny Silk uses that to call it's codependency. Do you guys see it? Yeah. A lot of times we're asking God, "God, give us faith. God, your kingdom come." Listen, if his kingdom's not coming in your life, it's because you don't want it to. Do you get it? Yeah. If his kingdom's not coming in your life, it's because you don't want it to. Here's how I know that. Jesus already paid for it. This is not about ability. It's about availability. We'll see as much of his kingdom as we want. Serious. So right now, you're seeing, and I'm seeing, as much of his kingdom as I've wanted. The nice thing about breaking off codependency is that it gives you the power that's actually yours to make a change. Because when you put the responsibility for seeing his kingdom come back on God, when he's already given you all the ability and all the authority to bring it to earth, God doesn't take it back up. Do you know what I'm saying? God doesn't take that authority back up. He already gave it to you. You're not taking it back. It's yours. So, hold on. So, if I'm trying to give my authority back to God, but he's not the one taking it back, who's taking it? I think we've seen it before. The devil's taking it. Do not submit your members any longer to sin. Do you see what I'm saying? But I'm not just talking about, it's a principle. I'm not talking about sin here. I'm just talking about bringing the kingdom of God. You're giving that authority back to the devil. But sin has no dominion over you unless you give it. Yeah. Unbelief is not what we normally think of unbelief as, in like an absence of belief. Okay? Unbelief is not a zero. Unbelief is belief that's counter to the word of God. Amen. God's not taking it back. He's already given it to you. As Andrew Womack says, you already got it. There's one other thing I was going to share just at the end. I don't know. Avery was asking if it's accurate to say anything you're not having faith in God for, you're having faith in the enemy for. Here'd be my answer. You know, I don't know that there's practical fruit along like thinking that question through, if that makes sense, because it's not real actionable. So it's not trying to be a non-answer. It's just all we do is renew our mind according to the Word, and then we do it. Do you see what I'm saying? The nice thing about this is it empowers us to know that it's actually, like, all we got to do is not eat the chips. Or in the more affirmative, is all I got to do is when I'm experiencing that cognitive dissonance where I'm like, ugh, adversity in my thinking, what is going on? I don't know what, I don't have time to go to do, I need a month off. God, I'm going to seek first your kingdom, and you'll add all the things to me that I need. Do you know what I'm saying? We need to dig our heels in on the Word of God. Do you know what I'm saying? We need to take him at his word. I believe that the Lord, is going to be bringing about a harvest in this congregation. About 2.5 years ago, Mark Crawford prophesied the end of Psalm 27. He said, I would have despaired unless I'd believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Right? And there's also lots of scriptures that says, he who goes out weeping, bearing the seeds of sowing, will come back with sheaves in arm and shouts of joy. Right? And Galatians 6, I think, says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due time you'll reap a harvest if you do not give up. I believe it is starting to be harvest season in this body. It's not going to all come at once, but it is starting to trickle in. I can speak from our experience, Megan and me and our family, it's starting to trickle in. It's starting to trickle in. And here is the key. Brad's been teaching us literally how to do it. You walk by the Spirit. It's a whole different reality. It's a whole different ecosystem. It's a whole different paradigm. We're dwelling in the land, but we're feeding on his faithfulness. There's a different opportunity available to us, and we'll access as much of it as we want to, right? And all creation's been eagerly awaiting for us to access it, right? Because remember, creation was subjected to futility, though not willingly, right? But we are not under that curse. We're not at all. So all of it's been handed over to us. All that he has is ours, Luke 15. And so all we've got to do is bring it to earth, right? Isn't that exciting? Yes. We can be kingdom bringers and world changers and water walkers right here today. But it's going to take a choice. And that's how, one of the things Brad said at the end of his sermon last week I thought was so appropriate. It's going to take a good quality decision. I had mine this summer, and I've had more since then. But man, we are on a different trajectory. It's literally like a glass ceiling got pulled off. It's a wild ride. I mean, really cool stuff. Coming together faster than you could ever do anything yourself. Things are coming together. It's amazing. Absolutely incredible. I'm having more fun than I've ever had. And I'm doing more damage on behalf of the kingdom of God, so to speak, to the kingdom of darkness than I've ever done. And easily, casually, it's all available to us. I don't know how to stir you guys up anymore. Here, let me pray this. I didn't pray it at the beginning, so I'll pray it now. Father, I pray that your words today would change lives in here. I pray, Father, that the mark on this body would be that we're kingdom first. And I thank you, Father, for the harvest that's beginning, and I speak more. I pray that seeds that have come to maturity would begin to be harvested in this body. Thank you, Father. And the kingdom, you believe it, then you see it. In the world, you see it, so you believe it. In the kingdom, you believe it, so you see it. All right. Let's believe and do. All right. If anybody would like prayer, sorry, I went a little over. Bless you guys.